Be'ezras Hashem, b'li neder, let's finish Shas together. Tonight's learning is dedicated to l'nishmas Avi Moya, Rav David Sivan, Rav Yosef. Today's daf was Tainis daf chof beis. We are up to the words Rav Broka Choza'a, which is a few lines down on chof beis Amud Aleph. Rav Broka Choza'a, it is the second wide line. Says the Gemara, Rav Broka Choza'a, Rav Broka lived in the town of Choza'i, Havishchiach Beshuka de Be'lefet. He used to hang out in the marketplace in a place called Be'lefet. Havishchiach Elio Gabe, Elio Anavi used to hang out with him. Amar Le, Ika Bahai Shuka Bar Alma De'asi. So Rav Broka asked Elio Anavi, is there anyone in this marketplace that is a Ben Olam Haba? That's a guy who goes to Olam Haba. Amalei, lo. He said to him, no, there's nobody here that's a Ben Olam Haba. We'll see in a minute. Don't we know, Kol Yisrael, Yeshlem Chelek Olam Haba? What does this mean? We'll see in a minute. So he said, no. Adahachi v'hachi, chazal l'hugavad avisai misani uchmi. Then Elio Anavi saw one guy who was wearing black shoes, and apparently at that time, the minhag for Jews was not to wear black shoes. V'lo rami chuta de tchelta b'glimen, he wasn't wearing tchelas. In his tzitzis, he was dressed like a guy. Amalei, hi bar amu da'asihu. This guy who was dressed like a guy, he said to him, this guy is a ben olam haba. This guy is going to get olam haba. Roid basrei, so Broka ran after the guy. Amalei, my uvdach. Well, what do you do? Like, what makes you righteous? Why did Eliyahu Hanavi say that you're a ben olam haba? Amalei, zil ha'idna v'sol ha'machar. I can't talk to you now. Leave now and come back tomorrow and I'll tell you. Lamachar, so the next day, he met him again. Amalei ma'uvdach. So he said to him, well, what do you do? Amalei, zandukna ana. I am someone who is a jail. He's a jail warden. He watches, you know, he tries to make sure that the people in jail stay in jail. He supervises the jail, the people in jail. Va'asarna gavri l'chud v'nashi l'chud. First of all, I make sure that the men and women are in separate jail cells and they stay separate. V'ramina puryoi bein hani lahani. And I sleep with my bed in between the men and the women, k'ich do leisi l'dei yisura, so that the men and women shouldn't come to yisurim in the jail. K'ichazina bas yisrael d'yavi nochem ala inaya. When I see a Jewish inmate that the non-Jews are trying to look at her and commit an avera with her, masarna nafshoy matzlinala, I am moser nefesh and I save her life. Yomachad avis namarosagaban. There was one time a girl by us in jail, the yavva nachaminai, that the non-Jews were looking at her to try to commit an avera with her. Shakli durdaya dechamra. So I took some sediment from red wine, v'shadai le b'shipula, and I placed it at the bottom of her garment. V'amri, I told the non-Jews that she was in nida, distanahi, that it was to that time of the month that she was bleeding, so she's disgusting to them, so they shouldn't want to commit an aveir with her. So Amar Le, Rav Broka asked this guy, my time of Leslie Chute, why don't you wear tzitzis v'ramis misani uchme? Why do you wear black shoes like the goyim? I'm always walking amongst the non-Jews, and therefore I dress like them, so that they shouldn't know that I'm Jewish. When the non-Jews decrees against the Jewish people, I could find out about them. That's why I dress non-Jewish. Modana lehulu rabbanon, when I hear that the non-Jews are plotting to make Gzeris against the Jews, I tell the rabbis about Obo Rachim Mevatel Gzerisayu. And the rabbis daven to Hashem, and Hashem is Mevatel Gzera. So then Rav Broka asked him another question. How come when I asked you yesterday what you do, you told me to come back tomorrow and tell me today? At that moment, the non-Jews were talking about a decree against the Jews. the thing I need to do right away is go tell the rabbis about this. Liboy Rachman led the milsa, so that the rabbis should daven to Hashem to get rid of the gzera. Adahachi v'hachi, asu hanach trei achai. Another two brothers showed up in the marketplace. Amale hanach namid me amud asininu. Eliyahu Navi told Rabbi Broka, these two brothers are also bnei olam haba. So Rav Broka went to them. Why are you guys getting Olam Haba? What's so special about you guys? We are jokesters. We know how to make good jokes. Really? We know how to take sad people and brighten up their day with jokes. Inami ki chazina beitrei. This little when we see two Jews that are in a fight with each other, tarchinan, we make merry, we make jokes, va'avdinan luhushlama, and we make peace between the two of them. It's like we say every morning, the following people are ochlin peraseim ba'olam hazeh, va'akaren kayemus l'olam haba. One of them is someone who makes shalom bein adam l'chaveru. If you make shalom between Jews, then you're getting a chelik in olam haba. Now, what do you mean when he asked him? When he asked him, who has a chelik in olam haba? Doesn't the Mishnah say in Sanhedrin, "Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelik l'olam haba"? Almost everybody has a chelik. So, what was he asking him? Who has a chelik in olam haba? What in the world did he mean? So, the Achronim, the Torah Schaim, writes over here that everybody has a chelik in Olam Haba after they go through Gehenim. After they go through Gehenim and they get all the punishments of Gehenim, so then they're cleansed and purified and go to Olam Haba. Because death and the punishment of Gehenim is mechaper. Rav Broka was asking, is there anybody in this marketplace that's deserving of Olam Haba right now, that he doesn't need Gehenim to purify him? He's going straight to Olam Haba. The Maharsha has a slightly different interpretation. He said it's based on a Gemara in Sukkah, in Daf Memhei, where Rabbi Shimon said, Ra'isi b'nei aliyah v'hei mu'atim. He said, I've seen B'nai Aliyah. There's very, very few people in the world that can be called B'nai Aliyah. People who are constantly striving to be better and better. That's what he was asking. Not a Ben Olam Haba. He was asking really for a B'nai Aliyah. Which is someone who, according to some Achronim, someone who you can trust he's not going to come to sin. Therefore, he's for sure going to be Zochan Olam Haba. All right, we'll see as it goes along. Let's continue. Now, Al Elu Masriyim B'chol Makom. The Mishnah had said about the following plagues, so we blow shofar, or we say Aninu, everywhere, even not in the place that it's happening. Because we're afraid it's going to get elsewhere. Al elam asriyim b'chol makom. So we said the shidafon, withering of crops, yerakon, when the crops turn green, or when or there's a plague that people have, like hepatitis, arbe, grasshoppers, animals, and the army, the sword. So all these things, even though it's happening elsewhere, we're afraid it's going to happen to you. So the Gemara now wants to know, what's the shear? Tanar banan al elam asriyim b'chol makom al hashidafon v'al yerakon v'al arba v'chasil v'al chaya ra. Rabbi Kiva amar al hashidafon v'al yerakon, how much? B'kol shehu. Even a drop that of the crop that starts to get withered, we already blow shofar, because we're afraid the rest of it's going to happen. arba v'chosil, afilu lo nira ba'eretz Yisrael, ela kanaf echad. Even if you see one grasshopper, masri and aleim, because where there's one, there's a lot of them. Val chaya, chaya ra, right, a wild animal. Tan rabbanan, chaya ra she'amru bizman shehi mishulachas. It's only a wild animal that it's clearly a punishment from Hashem. Masri and aleh. So then we blow shofar. Eina mishulachas, however, if it's clear that this wild animal was not sent min Hashemayim, as we'll see in a minute. Ein masri and aleh. Such a wild animal, you would not blow shofar. Namely what? Ezohi mishulachas ve'ezohi mishulachas. How do you know when a wild animal is sent as a punishment from Shemaim and a wild animal that just happens to be there? Well, I guess if you see it in the zoo, so then it's probably not a punishment. But nireis be'ir, if you see it, a wild animal walking in the streets of the city, mishulachas, that's a plague. You got to daven for that. Basadeh, but if you see it out in the wild, ainam mishulachas. So then it's not a punishment, it's just where it's supposed to be. Bayom mishulachas. Now if you see it in the city during the day, it's considered to be a punishment. But balayla, that people aren't there, ainam mishulachas. The fact that wild animals are out at night is not necessarily a plague because no one's out there anyway. Rasa shnei b'nei adam v'rat sacharei and mishulachas. If let's say this wild animal sees two people and runs after them, so then it's a punishment. Nichbeis b'fneim, however, if the animal's scared of a bear is out in the place, but it's scared of the humans and it runs away, eina mishulachas. Tarfa shnei b'nei adam v'achla echad mehem mishulachas. Let's say a wolf attacked two people and ate one of them, not the other one. That's a punishment. Because it was only hungry for one of them, and it killed the second one, must be a punishment. Achla shneim, but if it ate both of them, ain't a mishalachas, then it's not a plague because it only ate them because it was hungry. Also, lagag v'natla tinok me'arisa mishalachas. If the animal climbs up to the roof and he takes a baby from a crib and eats it, then it's considered to be a plague. Says Gemara, there seems to be a contradiction here. Hagufakash, we have a contradiction. Amrit, on the one hand you say, Nirasa Be'ir, if you see it in the city, it's Mishulachas. Loshna Beyom, Loshna Balayla, that implies even at night. And you have other Amrits, Beyom Mishulachas, by Mishulachas. Says Gemara, no, that's not what it means. Lokasha. Hakikaman. Nirasa Be'ir Bayom, then it's a plague, Mishulachas. But Be'ir Balayla ain't a Mishulachas. Inami Basada, Afilo Bayom Mishulachas, etc. It means both in the city, meaning you need the city and by day in order for it to be considered to be a plague. If it's either by night in the city or even by day but outside the city, that is not considered to be a plague. That's where the animal normally exists. Says the Gemara, Rasa shnei b'nei adam v'ratza sacharei mishulachas, ha'omedes ena mishulachas. It's only if it runs after people. Let's say it just stands in its place. It's not a punishment. If it runs away from the man, it's not. Ha'omedes, then mishulachas. Make up your mind. There seems to be a contradictory diukim. Says the Gemara Lokasha. Kan besada hasmucha la'agam. If it's a field that's right near the swamp where the wild animals live, so then it's not considered to be a punishment. But kan besada she'ena smucha la'agam. But if you see it in a field that's not close to where the animals live, then it's a punishment. Tarfa shnei b'dei adam ke'echad v'achla echad me'em mishulachas, shnei me'em mishulachas, ha'armes afilu ratzah. So what do you mean? You said even if it didn't eat anything, it just ran after man, that's already considered to be a punishment. Rav Papa, Gitani Ahi, when did it say that if ate one of them, it's a punishment, but if it just ran after it, it's not. Ba'agma gufa, that's inside the agam where the animal lives. So it's not afraid to run after people in the agam because it's hungry. Let's continue. Also, lagag v'not latinuk my recent mishlagas. If the animal climbs up to the roof and takes a baby out of its crib, that's a punishment. Says Mar Pshita. That's, we said before, what do you mean? Anytime you see the animal in the city, it's a problem. So what do you tell him it's got to go up to the roof? Says the Gemara, Amar of Papa, Kikuche de Tzayade. We're talking about a small city of, or no, I'm sorry, a small, not like a big house, but just like a small shack that the trappers, the hunters use, and they dig it out to trap the birds, even though it's not a permanent building, and it's outside the major city. So if you see the wild animal there, it's not considered to be a punishment because it's not in the city. However, if the animal was so brazen to climb up to the roof and take a baby out of its crib, that's a punishment. Let's continue. Tanu Rabbanan. Cherev she'amru eino tzarach lomar cherev she'eino shel shalom. Not only an army that's at war, or that decreed against the Jews, then it's obvious. Ela afilu cherev shel shalom. Even if the army is there allegedly for peace, you still have to blow the shofar. She'en lecha cherev shel shalom yosem yiparo necho. There was no greater example in Tanakh of somebody who just wanted to peacefully pass through the land of Israel, like Paro Necho. He was called this because he was missing a leg. He was like a Neche, which is like a, he's like a, has a disability. Paro Necho, he wanted to fight Ashur and just go through Eretz Yisrael to fight Ashur. Nevertheless, King Yoshiyahu sinned. Yoshiyahu HaMelech was killed in battle with Paro Necho because Yoshiyahu did not allow Paro to pass through the land of Israel to fight with Ashur. So you see that even a peaceful army can cause major problems. Shenemar, as we learn in the pasuk, Vayishlav elav malachim lemor mali v'lach melech Yehuda lo alecha ata hayom kiel beis mochamti v'lehemar l'va'aleini chadol l'cha me'elim ha'sheimi v'ayashli secha. Paro Necho says to Yoshiyahu, we're not enemies, I don't want to fight with you. Just let me pass through your land. I want to fight with Ashur. I'm supposed to do this quickly. I got to go through the quickest way. Don't worry, I'm not going to conquer your land. Says the Gemara. Now the Gemara darshins these psukim over here. My Elohim Asher Imi Amar Vida Marav Zu Avodah Zarah, referring to his idols that he had with him. Amar Hova Kabatach Bavodah Zarah. So Yoshio says, since Paro Necho is trusting in Avodah Zarah, Yechil Nalei, I could beat up on him, and therefore he didn't let him go through the land of Israel. Vayor Ayon Melch Yom Alech Avodah Varuniki Yechilesi Maod. So this is the famous kinna of Ayikon and Yirmiyahu Yoshio that we say in the kinnas of Tisha B'Av, that they shot 300 arrows into Yoshio. So he said, after he was shot with the arrows, he said, take me out of here, because I became very sick. I can't ride on my chariot anymore. My kiechalesi mode, I'm Rav Yud, I'm Rav, melamed she'asu kol gufo kikvara. Why is it? They made his whole body like a sieve that has holes in it. They made his whole body like a sifter or a sieve that has loads of holes in it. Now, what was the sin that caused Yoshiyahu to be killed by Paro Necho? I'm Rabbi Yonasan. Why was he punished? He should have asked the Navi Yirmiyahu what to do. Should I let them go by or not? V'lo nimlach. He didn't ask him. He made his own drasha from the pasuk. My darash, v'cherav lo saber ba'aretzachem. He made a drasha. He said, you're not allowed to let the sword to go through the land of Israel. My cherav, ilei mecherav she'ena shal shalom, v'aksiv anasati shalom ba'aretz. It already says, if you want to tell me that it means cherav she'ena shal shalom, it says anasati shalom ba'aretz. So that clearly, if there's going to be a fight, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have peace. So what's this other pasuk? V'cherav lo saber ba'aretzachem. Ella afilu shel shalom. Even a cherav of shalom, you can't let go through. V'hu ein yodea she'ein do or dome yafe. And Yoshio's mistake is that his generation was not doing the right thing in the eyes of Hashem. He thought he had led a great tshuva movement, but he didn't realize people have Avodah Zarah behind the doors. That's what people were saying. They sort of hid it from him. He didn't know. So therefore, they weren't zocha to the kiyum of Hashem's promise that that they would be delivered of a cherev lo savor ba'artzachem. He have a nicha nafshe when he was dying, when Yoshio HaMelech was dying. Chaza Yirmiyo sifasid kamarachshon. Yirmiyo saw that his lips were moving. Omar, Shemachas Hashem Muslim de lo mahagna. Omar, agav tzare. Maybe he's saying something against Hashem because of his pain. Gochen v'shamei dekamatztak alei dina hanafshe. But then Yirmiyo bent over to listen to what Yoshio was saying, and he was being matztik as Hashem, like it says in the Kina, that talks about this. Tzadik Hashem ki pihu marisi. Hashem is the tzadik because I violated his word. Omar tzadik Hashem ki pihu marisi. Pasach alei he shaita. At that point, Yirmiyo opened and gave a hesped for him. And he used the pasach ruach apeinu Mashiach Hashem. That the anointed one of Hashem is the one who was the source. The one who was the source for Ruach HaPeinu Mashiach Hashem, right? So Yirmiyo said that he was the source of the wind of our life, the anointed one of Hashem, Yoshio. He's the one who led this massive tshuva movement. He was such a great person, but he didn't realize that the tshuva movement was mostly on the outside, but the people weren't changing on the inside. Says the Mishnah further. And they decreed the tainus because they found an oven full of withered wheat in Ashkelon. Ibailu, kamali tana tful dima kamali tana pas. Is it an oven filled with wheat or an oven filled with bread from wheat? Tashma kamali pi tanur. The entrance of the tana, that's where the bread is. Vadain tibailach. Kikisuya de tanura, is it like the cover of the oven? Odim kidara de rifta de hadale lepuma de tanura. The amount of bread that could fill up the opening, around the opening of the oven. Teku, we're not sure. Vod goes down as achlu ze'evim, two babies. Wolves ate two babies. And Avra yard. Amul mishumishum yotzad kamaisu balu ze'evim saint tinokos. Vikim derech beis haray. Oh my gosh, I hope all you ate dinner already, but the story happened that two wolves swallowed two babies and excreted the babies straight through the system out the other end. And the Chacham wanted to know whether the babies were mitame. Are they tame? Because, and the Mefarshim explained here, they said the flesh of the baby is no longer conveys tuma, but the bones do. Why? Because the baby was digested by the fluid of the wolf. When it came out the other end, it was no longer considered to be human flesh. It was considered to be digested food, and it's not makat, doesn't convey tuma. But the bones didn't digest, and therefore they do convey tuma. Al elam asriyim b'shabbos. Tanabanan. Irishik for nacham onar. A city surrounded by non-Jews or an ocean. Ve'echad sfina mitarafis bayam. Or a ship that's sinking at sea. Ve'echad yachad shenitim b'nachrim. Or someone's being chased by non-Jews. Listen, they ruach ra. or he's being chased by a dibuk or a demon. Al kulon yachid rashi lasagi v'zatim b'tainus. For all these things, an individual is allowed to be mekabel tainus on himself, and to daven that Hashem should relieve him from this tzara. So that's an individual. Rabbi Yossi Omeniach Rashi lasagi b'tainus. No, Rabbi says you're not allowed to create a tainus. Shema yitzarech labrios, because maybe you'll get weak and you're going to need other people. Ve'en abrios merachmos alav. Since you brought it on yourself, so, meaning the fast, we're afraid if you decree a fast, you're going to need food, and they're not going to want to give you food because who told you to decree a fast? I went to my time with Rabbi Yossi. Tichsev, Vahi ha'adam lenefesh chaya. Man is supposed to be alive. Neshama shenasati b'cha ha'chayeya. You have to be healthy. You have to feed yourself to be healthy, and don't go into a fast. So the question is, how do we put this Gemara together with the Gemara that we said earlier about whether or not it's okay to fast? Gemara and Daf Yud Alf. So our Gemara seems to say it's bad to fast because you're going to weaken yourself and you're going to need people to help you. And they're not going to help you because who told you to weaken yourself? So we learned earlier, Machlok Zamarayim, if you fast the Tainus in Yamachoy, Rabbi Lazar said, you're called holy. So the Achronim say it's not a contradiction to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Lazar is talking about someone who has plenty of strength and he's not going to weaken himself when he fasts. Like we said in the Gemara earlier, at Alpha and Beis. Rabbi Yossi is talking about a guy who it's going to weaken him and he's going to need help. The Ran writes, even Rabbi Yossi did not forbid fasting for these painful situations. There's a lot of discussion here. I'm not going to get into the rest of it, but the Rishonim, talk here. How do you put this Gemara together with the Gemara earlier that had three opinions, right? If you accept upon yourself a tainus, either you're called a sinner by fasting, or you're called a kadosh, or you're called a tzaddik, right? We had three different opinions about whether or not it's the right thing to take upon yourself tainusim, and the Rishonim starts speaking about where it applies. Like, for instance, some of the Rishonim say that it wasn't said to stomp people. Only a person who needs his, he works for a living and he needs his hands, he needs to be able to do actions. So he were afraid if he fasts, he's not going to be able to work and he's going to need staka. But someone who, you know, he's just got his money, making money, he doesn't, if his fasting doesn't affect his work at all, we're not worried. That's why the Gemara, the Yerushalmi says that Reish Lakish fasted 300 fasts. And Marbury, the Ravine, used to fast all year long. Because they didn't need the money from that. Okay, let's continue. Back in the Gemara. Shimon HaTimani Omer Afal HaDever. You also blow shofar also on a plague. Ibailahu, and the Mishnah said, Lo Hodu Lo Chachamim. He blew shofar for a plague, and the rabbis weren't happy with that. Ibailahu, Lo Hodu Lo Chachamim B'Shabbos? Were the rabbis upset that he blew shofar on Shabbos? Aval B'chol Hodu Lo, but on a weekday you're allowed to blow shofar? Even on a weekday, Tashma, Desanim Asriel and Dever B'Shabbos, you're allowed to blow shofar for a plague on Shabbos. Ve'in Sarach Lomar B'chol, Kal V'chomer, you're allowed to blow shofar for a plague on a weekday. Rabbi Chanan Ben Pitim Tamidish Rabbi Kiva Mishum Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein Asriel and Dever Kol Iker, you're not allowed to blow shofar neither on a weekday nor on Shabbos. You're not allowed to blow on Shabbos because you're not allowed to blow shofar, and you're not allowed to blow on a weekday because you're afraid you're going to come to blow on Shabbos. That is the way the Rishonim understand this. Rashi says that way. Al kaltzar shel tavar latzibur, you can blow shofar. Tanarban al kaltzar shel tavar latzibur masrin alech chutz mirov gishamim. Too much rain is not a tzara that you're allowed to decree a tinus for. My time, Rabbi Yochanan, if you should aim the spot on a rova tova. Rain is a good thing. So you got too much of it. You can't daven or blow shofar or yell at Hashem for giving us too much of a good thing, even if it's bad. Rabbi Yochanan, nine shem spot on a rova tova. How do you know that you can't daven for too much, that too much of a good thing should stop? We had this before. Hashem says, I'm going to bring to you bracha until your lips will be worn out from saying enough, enough, enough. This is the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once he answers, he gives the lot. So we don't daven to him telling him to stop giving the lot. But there's some times where we could daven to stop the good. Rami Bar Rav Yud. That's in Eretz Yisrael, which is in a mountainous region, so the rain, too much rain, is not going to be so bad. But in Golos, like in Bavel, where it was very, very low down, so if it floods, it's really dangerous. Masrin Alei. So you are allowed to daven and blow shofar even when it's too much rain, like we had in Hurricane Sandy. A year that has a lot of rain, so the people of the Mishmar sent to the Yisraelim who were fasting and davening, daven on behalf of the people in Bavel that when it's raining a lot, that their houses shouldn't become their graves. Like there was a line like this in the Yom Kippur davening, right? Right before Emes Manedar. It was Baal Anshei Asharon, right? The people who lived in the valley, you have to make sure the rain wouldn't bury them. How much rain has to fall in order to daven that it shouldn't fall? The person shouldn't stand on this very high place called Keren Ophel, and yet he's on a very high place, but his feet are getting wet with water. Once it reaches that, you're allowed to daven. Ask the Gemara Vatanya, Yadav, your hands are hitting water. Raglav ki yadav kamina. Says the Gemara, no. It's the same thing. Because when the water would reach up to his feet on this high ground, he could also bend his hands down and touch the water there as well. I saw this place called Keren Ophel. To kama utaya ki rachav gamla v'nakit rumcha biyadeh. That I saw an Arab merchant. When he was riding a camel, carrying a spear, mischaze iniva. He looked tiny like a worm, because I was on such a high mountain. That's this place called Keren Ophel. That's how high up it was. Tana Rabbanan. Hashem says, I'm going to give you rain at the right time. Lo shikora. Not that you're going to get drunk from the rain. Velo tzmeh. Not that you're going to be starving for rain. Ela beinonis. Right in the middle. Shkolzman shahagish shamem merubin. If there's too much rain, metashtinus eretz, it causes the land of Israel to get messed up. Ve'enom mutzia peros. Davaracher, another pshat. Be'itam. When is a good time for the rain to come? Belele Revios or Belele Shabbosos. Wednesday night and Friday night, because people don't go out at those times. There is a Gemara in Psachim, Kufi Beis, that says a person should not walk out alone at night on Tuesday night and not on Friday night. Because there's like shadim that go out at those times. And they're allowed to do damage. Says the Gemara, Shekin Matsinu, Bimei Shimon ben Shetach, during the days of Shimon Shetach, Shiodlam Gsham and Belele Revius of Belele Shabbosos, that the rain fell only on Tuesday night and Friday night, and it gave enough water for everything. Ajanasu Chitim Kiklayos. It produced such great, huge crops that the wheat was like as big as kidneys. Usorim Kagarine Zasim. And the barley was like olives. Va'adashim Kedinrei Zav. And the lentils were as big as golden coins. Vitsaru Mehem Dugma Ladoros. And the rabbis put away examples of these huge crops. Lohodia Kama Achet Gorim. To teach us how much sin causes. That when they don't do the will of Hashem, so then they wouldn't produce such nice crops. Your sins is what presented the good. They were dealing with the Bini Beis HaMikdash v'yodin g'sham b'layla, and the rain would fall down at night. L'machar nosh v'haruach v'nispazru avim v'zara chacham v'yatsum mel melachtan v'yadu shem v'leches shamayim b'yideyem. They knew that Hashem was in favor of the building because he never let it rain during the day. So this is a proof that's called v'nasati gishmeichem b'itam, that the rain fell at the right time. When they were building Beis HaMikdash, it should fall at night because they couldn't build anyway at night. But during the day, it didn't fall. Okay? Rabosai, we will stop here tomorrow morning. Daf Yomi at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. I want you to have a wonderful day. V'yelech and Chanukah.